sang that one song, O Joy, O Delight, Should We Go Without Dying. No sickness, no sadness, no dread, no crying, caught up through the clouds with our Lord in glory. O Joy, O Delight, Should We Go Without Dying. Praise the Lord that we have a Savior who desires for every one of us to go without dying. It's not the will of the Father that any should perish, but that we should all go without dying. And so this morning, I just would like to represent, I just lift up the way that we can go without dying. Lift up the standard of truth. You know, before we begin, let's begin with the word of prayer. Father in heaven, this morning I do thank you for our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for our sins, who made a way for us through his shed blood. He was shed his blood on the cross for me and for each one in here, that we may go without dying. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would breathe the breath of life upon your word this morning and quicken it, Lord, with power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that it may minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 18, this is Jesus standing in Pilate's hall, starting in verse 37. I'll back up to verse 36, or 35 actually. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate's asking Jesus, What did you do? Why are you here in front of me? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. I find in him no fault at all. And so it seems like Pilate here is a little frustrated. Most times when criminals are brought before the magistrates, they have some evidence that there was something done wrong. And he was not able to find any. And in frustration, he cries out, What is truth? And, you know, we live in a world today where truth is confused. A lot of people, are crying out, What is truth? Many people don't know what is truth. The Jews delivered him. They were condemning him, but he could find no fault in him. And he was having a hard time understanding why. And so here in America, we have all these different denominations. In America here, we have Baptists, we have Jehovah's Witness, we have Muslim, we have Amish, we have Mennonites, we have Charity, we have Ebenezer, we have Seventh-day Adventists. But, they all claim title to truth, right? Every one of them claims to have the title, hold the title to truth. Every one of you name it. You talk to each one, the Catholics too. You talk to each one, and each one claims they hold the title to truth. And so, what really is truth? Proverbs 21:2 says that every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The way of every man in his own heart is right, You can say, I'm right. I can say, I'm right. But the Lord looks at the heart and ponders the heart. And so, what is truth? You know, we can look at many, all these denominations, and you know, some of them are pretty easy to pick apart where they err in with the truth. But what about us here? Do we love the truth? Or do we have the attitude that Eve had? Yea, hath God said. You know, God laid down what was expected of them in the garden. He laid his principles down in the garden for them, but the serpent came along, yea, hath God said. Do we love truth? This morning, Jeremiah read that verse in John that says, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is what's going to make so that you can go without dying when the Lord returns in the air. And so this morning, I don't have that long of a message, but I just want to lay on our hearts. It's important that we love truth, because if we don't love truth, we're going to see what happens here. And so in order to find the answer to Pilate's question, what is truth, the first thing that you're going to need to do is to love truth. That's the first thing. You need to love the truth. The truth is God's word. And it's not about me justifying myself with the Bible, but it's letting truth speak into my heart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about loving the truth. It actually, first of all, it talks about those that love not the truth. Starting in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Notice that. They receive not the love of the truth. Jeremiah read that verse this morning. You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And so it's important that we love the truth. You know, most people will spend their time and their where their passion is and what they love doing the most, whether it's fishing, hunting, traveling, or you name it, anything that you love the most, that's where most people are found spending most of their time with what they love the most. Whether it's, you know what your hobby is, you know, but do we love the truth that we will spend time with God's word so that we can be, meet him in the air and go without dying? So if you're going to find the answer to Pilate's question, what is truth? You need to love the truth. You know, Jesus said, we're all familiar with the verse in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you ask what is truth, most people will go and probably quote that verse. Jesus says, I am the truth. But the problem is most people want Jesus for a fire insurance, but not the reality of it. For example, yesterday I was really blessed, for those of you who weren't here at the couple's day on marriage, he was sharing on how we respond to our spouses. You know, the husband wants respect from the wife, and the wife wants love from her husband, and This is how the Bible calls us to respond to our spouses, like Brother Elson shared a little bit earlier. It doesn't matter what her response is. My response is to follow Christ like. But he made this statement that really stood out to me. He says, if I respond in a wrong way, all you're saying that you're telling Jesus, I'm not going to obey you. He said, I'm not going to obey you because by having a wrong response. That's what you're telling Jesus, because Jesus Christ commands you to have a right response. See, that is to know the truth that's going to set you free. That is the truth. It's not just knowing that Jesus is the truth, but that's the truth that has set you free, that you and I are able to have the right response, that we can respond like the Bible commands us to in our spouses. And that doesn't go just in that. I'm just using that for an example. That goes in every area of life. We say we know Jesus is the truth, but the reality of our life, does it show it? You know, when the Bible says, we say we love Jesus, the truth, and the Bible commands us to love our enemies. You know, is it reality? And just put any biblical doctrine in there that's in the Bible. How is it reality in my life? That shows how I love the truth. So, I just want to encourage us this morning to love the truth. You know, there's many, many biblical principles, you know, that we could put in there. Is it reality in your life? That shows how you love the truth. Or are we doing what 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, you know, we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We learn, we hear all kinds of good teaching about many different topics, many different subjects, but we're ever learning but never able to come to a place where it's reality. And look what he says in verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So it's more than just knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth. It's when we are able to flesh, his word becomes flesh in me and his word becomes flesh in you. Then we're not resisting the truth, but his word is able to become flesh in me. And we're not ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's not where God wants us. What we're actually doing, Jannes and Jambres, they withstood Moses. Moses was they were resisting the truth that God, the way that God was leading Moses at that time, and they were resisting the truth, and God came in and punished them. It says in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So eventually, you know, if it's not reality in our life, God's going to expose your folly. You're not going to be able to, you think you can hide it for a while and profess Christ and profess to know the truth, but that verse says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. God's going to manifest it someday, some way, somehow. You can hide today and now, but there's a day coming that God's going to expose it. He says so in his word. He uses those two men as an example. And, you know, so often I think we take the approach that the serpent did in the Garden of Eden there with the Word of God and with the truth, you know, yea, hath God said, does God really mean this? Does God really mean this? And what happens when we go down that road? Well, 2 Thessalonians, I'll continue to read there. And it says, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we have an example of someone that God, that's pretty bad when God sends someone a lie that they should believe a lie. And we have an example in 1 Kings. If you want to, you can turn there. Of, you know, God sending someone a strong delusion, sending them someone that they should believe a lie because they did not like the truth. They did not like righteousness. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. And this is King Ahab, and Micaiah is the prophet here. I'll start reading in verse 4. Of chapter 22. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people is thy people, my horses is thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Jehoshaphat here was having some strange feelings about the whole situation. He realized something was amiss. And the king of Israel... Listen to the next verse. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. What was the reason that he hated him? The reason was because Ahab did not love truth and did not love righteousness. We know he was a wicked king, and therefore he hated him. He didn't love the truth. Verse 9, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place, in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of China, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. So see, Micaiah here was just following orders of the servant. He said, the servant said, go up and speak the same thing they said. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? You know, the king automatically knew that what he was saying was not the truth. He immediately knew it was not the truth. He said, come on, Micaiah, speak to us the truth. because he knew it was different than these other 400 men. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered up on the hills as a sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Micaiah said, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord asked the spirit and said unto him, wherewith? He said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit. That's what we read there in 2 Thessalonians, that God sends a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And this lying spirit came forth and says, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of China went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber and to hide thyself. So here we see that there's a lying spirit went from the presence of God and went into these prophets to speak because Ahab did not love the truth. And so my encouragement to us, if we're going to doubt God's word, yea, hath God said, does he really mean what he says in his word? Guess what? God's going to send a lying spirit to you if you don't love truth, that you... because he sees your heart. He sees that you have pleasure in unrighteousness. He's going to send a lying spirit. You may be in a situation right now that you might be believing a lying spirit because you have pleasure in unrighteousness and rather than loving truth and righteousness and holiness. The scripture says in John that when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. It will guide you. There's only one direction that the Spirit of truth is going to guide you to, and that's unto righteousness and holiness. And so if you're struggling with righteousness and holiness, then you need to maybe examine your heart because it might be a lying spirit that God has sent because he sees your heart is not in a proper place. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 is another verse. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we just witnessed that in Kings chapter 22, Ahab, that the wrath of God was revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we jump over to Romans chapter 2, verse 8. It says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew first, also of the Gentile. But here's where we want to be in verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles, for there is no respect of persons with God. You know, sometimes, you know, I think we as people want to think, well, maybe I'm a little special to God and God will overlook me, but it's not so. God's not a respecter of persons. God looks at every person the same. So it's important that we love truth, and because if we don't, God will send us a strong delusion that we should believe a lie. There is pleasure in unrighteousness. We go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, you know, it says that Eve, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, there's the world has a way of making sin look glamorous and pleasant and to be desired. And the scripture does say there's pleasure in unrighteousness. But I think Brother Eli shared about, you know, that shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. There is pleasure in sin for a season, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Spend time studying the word, the truth. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As you study the word, it will guide you unto all truth, as John 16:13 says. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. As we study the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is always going to point you in one direction. Titus, Paul acknowledges that in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Truth will always lead you after godliness, to become more godlike, more in God's image. It'll change you from glory to glory. And we jump back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So untruth is always going to lead to more ungodliness. The truth always leads unto righteousness and godliness, but untruth, it says, leads unto more ungodliness. It increases. Untruth will increase ungodliness. And it says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. We know how a canker sore works in our mouths. We know that we need to be careful, you know, to sanitize the cups that we drink out of and the spoons and the plates and things, because if you're not careful, that canker is going to spread throughout your whole household. And, you know, the untruth that was being preached here was that the resurrection is already past, but there's other untruths also that will eat as a canker and lead to more ungodliness. Not just that one, but any untruth will lead unto more ungodliness, like a canker works in our mouths. So ask yourself, am I being changed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ, or is ungodliness increasing? That will tell you where your temperature gauge is for truth, whether you love truth. or love untruth. If you're being changed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ, that means that you have found the answer to Pilate's question, what is truth? Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to keep going. But if you find ungodliness increasing you, then you need to examine your heart, because your heart is not in a good place. Verse 17 there says you have erred from the truth. And so, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, our ears are the avenue to the heart. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So it's very important what goes into our ears. So if they have turned their ears from the truth, apparently they were. They shall be turned unto fables. They were listening to untruth. It's very important that we guard our children's ears too, because it can have an effect on their eternal destiny. You know, if our children are going to sit around and being watching movies and watching all kinds of videos that are put together by Hollywood, you know, yesterday the one phrase that he often used was Hollywood or the Holy Word. Hollywood or the Holy Word. And that phrase stuck with me. What are we going to listen to? Are we going to have Hollywood going into our children's ears, or are we going to have the Holy Word going into our children's ears? Because it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. You know, the Hollywood's going to turn your ears, children's ears, and my ears away from the truth. But as we take in the Holy Word, it's going to build a love for the truth. So, the ear is the avenue to the heart. Romans 10:17 again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's very important that we are putting the Holy Word of God in our children's ears, because their eternal destiny depends on what they do with Pilate's question, what is truth? It says fables. Fables is untruth, unreal things. Most videos and most movies are fables. They're not reality. They're not real. But those things will increase unto more ungodliness. And so, study the truth and rightly divide the truth. You know, many people study the scriptures to justify their lifestyle. Our lifestyle needs to fit into the Bible, the truth, not try to make the Bible fit me. We need to fit into the Bible, our lifestyle. Our life needs to fit. You know, the scripture says that Jesus came to make us a new creation in Christ Jesus. We need to come to the Lord and say, not my will, but thine. You know, you can take this Bible and pretty well make it say what you want it to say. But the heart that comes to it in a broken and a contrite spirit and is open and honest, you will find the answer to Pilate's question. You will find the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But if you come to the Bible with trying to make it say what you want to say, it's going to increase unto more ungodliness. So I want to close with a couple more verses here. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I quit reading in verse 12. I want to pick up in verse 13. You know, remember, I shared with, you know, all these different denominations that they all claim to hold title to the truth. And here's how we can hold title to the truth. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by our word, or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. One more verse of an example of a man who loved truth. In 3 John, verse 12. It says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So here's, I want to close with this man. He hath a good report of all men and of the truth. This man loved truth, and he could truly claim the title that he found the answer to having truth. And so I just want to leave that thought with each one of us today to encourage us to love truth, love righteousness, because untruth increases unto more ungodliness. And we can look out in the world and we can see that happening. And even in many churches that is happening, where untruth or truth is falling by the wayside and ungodliness is increasing. And that's not the heart of God. God wants us to love the truth. The truth will set you free. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word.